You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with tapping into the money flow.
So you got to sow to tap into the flow. Let me go a little bit further here. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to prime the pump. I heard someone else say this. I was trying to think of what this term was. And then I was with someone and I said, that's it. I got to teach about that. You have to prime the pump. In order to get the flow to flow, you got to do something to start the flow. You got to prime the pump. So now, water pumps will run out of pressure. And they'll stop working if they're turned off for an extended period of time, such as over the winter. Now, at my house, I have two pumps. I have a pump that pumps that for the irrigation. Okay, I live on the lake, so my water comes right out the lake. Okay, so when the city's saying, "Don't y'all run the water," I still run mine because it's coming out the lake. Okay, and so but over winter, if you don't use it before you start again, you gotta prime the pump. Also, in the past, I got that fixed too, and I have a pool. And the pool, if you go out of town, you know, especially over the summer, the water evaporates. If the water doesn't keep flowing through the piping, the water will get too low, and then you have to prime the pump to get that pump going again. In order to get the pump working again, it needs to be primed. Everybody say prime. So what it primed is flushing water back into it and forcing it through in order to create enough pressure to begin the pumping again. Some of y'all, you got to prime your pump. You let the recession dry your giving out. You let fear stop you from giving. And then you're wondering what's happening. The flow is stopped, but you got to prime that pump. He that watereth shall be watered again himself. Now, when I look this up, because I know about it in the natural, about priming the pump, that thought came. Then I went looking, and every place, you know, they got everything on YouTube now. Everything tells you how to prime pumps. And all of them, the one thing they all have in common, you got to get some water and put it in there. You got to put some water in there to get the water to flow. You got to put it in if you want to get it out. You're going to have to put something in and some of us, we sit waiting for a flow and we never put anything in. You look at your neighbor and say, you better prime the pump. Now, they even talk about priming the pump in economic theory. I don't know how many economic majors we had here. Okay? But there's an economic theory called pump priming. Pump priming is the action to stimulate an economy, usually during a recessionary period, through government spending and interest rate and tax reductions. They're trying to get you to spend more money. So the government got to spend money and put money in the economy, come on your hook, to get that thing flowing again. The term pump priming is derived from the operation of older pumps. A suction valve has to be primed with water so that the pump would function properly. Pump priming in economic theory involves introducing relatively small amounts of government funds into a depressed economy in order to spur growth. When Barack Obama became president, they passed what they call a stimulus package. And the stimulus package was a way of priming the pump of the economy. And so we're going to spend on infrastructure so we can have government contracts to get the roads repaired and bridges done and new government buildings so that money can start flowing again and get people working. As long as everybody's sitting around saying, what's going on? Nothing's going to happen. Somebody got to prime this pump. Some of your families, you've been dry for years. You've been dry for generations. There's no money flowing into your family. And the word of the Lord to you today is you got to prime that pump for your family. You got to start that thing flowing in your life. There's no reason why if other people can be rich, you can't be rich too. Somebody is going to be the first millionaire in your family. Let me say it again. Somebody's going to be the first millionaire in your family. And you need to have the idea, it might as well
be me.
Might as well be me. Might as well be me. Come on. Somewhere along the line, somebody going to get wealthy. Somebody going to have more than enough. Somebody going to get off the EBT. Somebody going to get off government assistance. Somebody going to pay cash for college. Somebody going to send their kids to school without student loans. It might as well be you. Look, somebody say, I'm going to prime this pump. Now, in the kingdom of God, and I'm not talking to you from what I've heard. I'm talking my own lifestyle, my own life testimony. Sacrificial giving primes the pump. See, as long as you sit around with, well, when I get such and such, I'm going to become a giver. I don't make enough to tithe right now. What does that mean? A tithe is a percentage of whatever you have. I was just talking to one of our members who's from an African nation. And we were talking before the service, and she's going to be doing missionary work there, and we're going to help her. But she was saying, she said, Pastor, one of the problems in my native country is that they're always looking for other people to give to them. Let me be more specific. Specifically, waiting for white people to give them. She says, and Pastor, they need to understand they have to give. And everyone is not poor. And the rich people got to know you got to give. That's why the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 chapter, charge them who are rich in this world's good, but that they be not high-minded, but ready to distribute. Keep that flow going. Let me tell you something. If you rich, it's because somewhere some money flowed to you. Come on now. If you have more than enough, somewhere some money was flowing to you. And and it's only right to keep it flowing so that it can enrich other people as well. So sacrificial giving props the pump. Second Chronicles, first chapter. Second Chronicles 1, verse 6. It says, Solomon went up thither, King James Version, went up there to the brazen altar before the Lord. Which was, and this is in Gideon, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Now, when preachers preach about it, they talk about maybe $1,000 offering. And that may be synonymous in our economy. But it doesn't require, if you got money, it doesn't require effort other than writing the check, switching some funds, pulling from the car out. This is effort. Every sacrifice God gave, it said you had to go through and pick out, first of all, the best one. He said, it better not have a spot in it, don't have a blemish. He said, God said, can't even have a mole on it. So they had to inspect it. Then they had to cut it right. And then they had to sacrifice it right. And they had to burn it right. There was a lot of preparation to prepare one offering. And he prepared 1,000. So I don't know how long it took him to prepare for this, but this was a prepared sacrifice. 1,000 burnt offerings that he sacrificed to the Lord. And when he did this, sacrificial giving that requires something of him, that his soul got involved in, verse 7, in that night, God did appear to him and say to Solomon, ask what thou will and I'll give it to you. He primed the pump for his prosperity and the flow of what he needed from the Lord through sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving primes the pump. Now, what happened as a result of that? Verse 12. And God spoke to him in that night. And he said, ask what you will. And Solomon said, what I want. He said, I want an understanding heart that can judge your people. I'm a new king. I'm young. I don't know, you know, I don't have a degree in political science. You know, I haven't come up the ranks. And here I am now, a king. How am I supposed to rule such a great people? I need wisdom to discern between good and evil. No, to be able to make the right decisions. I need your wisdom. And God says to him, because you didn't ask for riches and wealth and that all your enemies be wiped out. Verse 12. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have ever had before you, neither shall there be any after you, after thee like you. What did he do? He primed the pump through sacrificial giving. Say it to me, say sacrificial giving primes the pump of the flow. So sacrificial giving primes the pump because it gives God something to work with, something to breathe on, something to increase, and something to magnify. And we see that over and over again throughout the scripture. The widow woman, she says, I'm going to die. I'm going to take this little meal, a little bit of oil, and I'm going to make just a Jiffy cupcake. It's not even enough to make a whole pan. I'm just going to make a Jiffy cupcake. And me and my son are going to eat it and die. And he said, no, give it to me because what, you know what that was? It was a sacrificial gift. I want to prime the pump in her life. Glory to God. The prophet's widow come to Elijah and said, you know my husband, your servant served the Lord. He served you. And now the creditor is going to come and take my children as slaves. And the first thing that Elijah said, what do you have in your house? She said, I just got a little bit of oil. He said, we're going to use that to prime the pump. Oh, y'all aren't hearing me here. And so she takes the oil. And then the oil continued to increase. Because she used it to prime her economy. The boy's lunch, feeding 5,000 in John 6. There's a little boy here with two fish and five loaves. But what are they amongst so many? It's enough to prime the pump. Give it to Jesus. He breathed on it. And 5,000 got filled. Sacrificial giving primes the pump. God said it's not about what you don't have. It's what you do have. It's accepted according to that which a man hath, not what he doesn't have. So Ecclesiastes 11 and 6, it says, now, first you got to prime the pump. Then you got to keep the flow going. So, if I prime my irrigation system and then let the water run out and don't use it again, it's not going to keep flowing. I got to prime it again. If I go away for a month and don't have anybody check the water level in my pool, eventually water is going to get out of the pump, out of the piping. I have to come back and I got to prime it again. So after you prime, now you got to keep that flow going. But your neighbor say, keep it going. So Ecclesiastes 11, 6 says this. It's how you keep that thing going. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, don't withhold your hand. Well, I already gave one time. Keep that flow going. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they shall both be alike good. Now, King Solomon, after he primed the pump, through 1,000 burnt offerings, we see prosperity coming into his life like we've never seen anybody else. Even as God said, no king or anyone's lived after you. Everyone's wealth today, they still compare it to Solomon's wealth in biblical times. Solomon tapped into the money flow. Look at 1 Kings 10. 1 Kings 10, verse 13. We know the queen of Sheba, queen of Ethiopia. She comes to him. Verse 13, and Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire. Now, we ain't going to mess with that too much. All right? We ain't going to deal with that. But he gave the girl what the girl wanted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let church say amen. And whatsoever she asked, beside that, which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. She comes to him. She has questions. There's an exchange. She gives him gold and she gives him things and she gives him trains. She gives him spices. And he gives her all that she, he gives her answers. He gives her wisdom, which is the main thing that he had. He had wisdom. And he also gave her of his royal bounty from his treasury. Look, verse, and then it says, so she turned and went to her own country. She and her servants. Now, he primed the pump, but now he kept the flow going also by becoming a giver. Y'all see this. Now look verse 14. I need you to see this. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon. It did what? It came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 pounds of gold. That doesn't mean anything to us. Because we don't measure money today in scores and in talents. But before I even give you the amount of what that means, it says the weight of gold that came to him. Somebody say, money cometh, money cometh. It came to him. He didn't say he was working for it. He wasn't toiling for it. It came to him. God wants you to tap into a flow. That stuff just start coming to you. I know people don't understand this, but you can get into a flow that stuff just come to you. Stuff you think about, just come to you. Stuff you don't have to work for, just come to you. You think about something and God put it on somebody's mind and stuff just start coming to you. You don't have to hook and crook to get it. You don't have to scheme to get it. You have to kiss nobody's to get it. God just caused stuff to come to you. Hallelujah. The favor of God causes stuff to just come to you. People bless you, don't even know why they bless you. They mad about it and they're blessing you. I don't know why I'm doing this here. Thank you. But your bad attitude, it still spins. The weight of gold that came to him, 603 talents of gold. Now, one Bible reference that I have that was probably written in like the 60s and 70s is when this Bible was updated. It gives a quantitative amount in today's economy for that money, say 50 years ago. One talent is equal to $29,085. So when you put this together, the weight or the money that came to Solomon in 1 year, today's economy, $19,370,610. $19,370,610 in today's economy, it just came to him. He wasn't working for it. He wasn't sweating for it. He had primed the pump with God. Then he kept that thing flowing and stuff just started coming to him. Somebody say, flow to me. Let's keep reading here. 1 Kings 10, 14 and 15. That flow kept coming. That flow kept coming. Each year, Solomon received 25 tons of gold. Each year. Verse 15. And this did not include the additional revenue. This is a New Living Translation I'm reading from. This did not include the additional revenue that he received from merchants and traders, all kings of Arabia, and the governors of the land. This wasn't even stuff that he could predict was coming from taxes. This is just supernatural stuff that's just coming to him. Solomon did not sin for the Queen of Sheba. Oh my God. The Queen of Sheba showed up. And when she showed up, she came bearing gifts. I'm prophesying to somebody in this house that somebody's about to show up in your life bearing gifts, stuff you didn't even ask for. Somebody say, I tapped into the flow. I tapped into the flow. So let's start summarizing this. So how do you tap into the money flow? Since it's already flowing, you just got to tap in. Number one, you got to be a generous giver. You got to be not just a giver, a what kind of giver? And that got to become part of you. That's not just going through the motions. Because when it's a part of you, you don't stop giving because the pastor made you mad that Sunday. It's commonly known among pastors that when people come into a church, the last thing that comes with them is their pocketbook and their wallet. When people get ready to leave a church, the first thing that leaves is their money in their wallet. And they will sit right here and say, I ain't giving not done. But they ain't going nowhere. You first come in, you're like, yeah, I heard. I don't know. Where he from again? New Jersey. Oh, he a city slicker.
he a Yankee. One of those slick talking, fast talking. I don't know.
So you got to sit around here and you got to discern. Now, I understand to some degree. You got to discern by the Spirit of God whether I'm a man of God. I get it. Amen. The Shunammite woman, she was just being nice to to Elijah. She just made him a meal. Whenever he could come, and then after eating several meals with him, she said, I perceive this is a holy man of God. He wasn't just a man of God. Now because I spent some time with him, I perceive, and now she made a major investment. So I fully understand that. But can I tell you, the quicker you get that settled, the quicker you prime the pump. And the quicker you get the flow going, the longer you're sitting here trying to figure out, now, what they really do with all that money? What they do? Can I tell you something? If I was a greedy preacher, I wouldn't have the staff I have. No, you really got to understand that. My payroll is about $500,000 a year for staff, including benefits and all. Come on now, I can sing a little bit. Sean, real good, and especially I've learned from him now. We got to go. I've learned. I could fire him right now. You'd be all right. The quicker you get those questions settled about the place you're in and whether you're supposed to be giving and what we're doing with the money and all that. Can I tell you something? We are, I'm just got to settle a couple things for you. We are a ECFA certified church. Ecumenical Council of Financial Accountability. Evangelical Council of Financial. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Okay? Our accountant recommended that, and I haven't been seeing it for you. Our accountant recommended, and it's very stringent. They look at all your stuff. They look at how your board oversees. They look at how you're accountable to your board. They want to make sure, And so, and then they ask for churches who are already part of them to recommend you. Can I tell you, I couldn't find one church who knows me to recommend us because they aren't a part of it. See, I don't have anything to hide here. We have audits every year. We have audits every year. When our accountant first started auditing us, you know, he heard these other campuses, and I would be down in the other, and all of a sudden he show up down at the showing up in Harrisburg. So I'm like, Flo, what you here for? He wants to see if we really got a church down here. Because you can just be saying stuff on paper. I'm telling my point. I'm not playing games. I'm not playing gimmicks. I live this life. God took us from poverty to prosperity. Glory to God. God took us from being a dollar in the air to a millionaire. I worked these principles. I gave when it didn't make sense to give as a child, as a teenager. I gave when it didn't make sense to give when we started this ministry. So you got to be a generous giver. Number two, and I got to end with this one. You got to obey God. Everybody say obey God. So the word tells a certain thing, but then there are times when God will tell you to give. It wasn't specifically asked for. See, I know sometimes when we got to raise a budget, and you know, accounting, so many people give this, we could raise the budget and meet the need. But, you know, I believe that's the worst way to have to do things. I believe the best way for you to get your harvest is when you do what the Lord tells you to do.
Currency in any form is exchanged from one person to another. Money is already flowing throughout the earth. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains how to tap into that flow to get it to you. Order this timely series today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Tapping into the Money Flow.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.